Well, if you could just for the tape, if you could just, for the lady who's going to transcribe it, tell us your full name and where we are.
Yes.
That would be really helpful.
Right, well, my name is Muriel Cottier, and we're in my house, which is 102 Portishy Avenue.
Excellent. And I'm John Beckerson, and it's the 30th of August?
31st
of August. Well, thanks very much for talking to us about the when you ran the boarding house and all those memories. Can you tell us when you first got involved in that and how long ago it was?
Yes, it was in 1946 when I got married. I went into... My husband had aunts who had this boarding house on the promenade, and we took it over from them in 1946, which was really the year after the war. It was just starting up again then, you know, so...
How did you manage to get involved? Did you have to give them some money for it, or did they...?
Oh no, we paid them money and then going for it. And a rent as well, because of course we couldn't afford to buy it, so we had a rent to pay a rent as well.
How much were you paying?
I think it was £200 a year. I'm not sure about that. I think it was that. It was a very nominal charge because of course they were relatives and my husband was their only nephew as far as they were concerned, you know, so we got it.
And what was the name of the boarding house?
It was Ferndale. It was on the central promenade.
So can you tell me a bit about running it and how big it was and what sort of jobs you had to do?
We had 21 bedrooms. It was quite big. It was, we could take 60 guests. And in those days, of course, it was very sort of ordinary. It was just that they had, every room had a wash basin and hot and cold running water and a light in the middle. There were no bedside lights or anything there. It was very, well, to these days, nobody would even think about it, you know. But that's how it was, because of course it was just after the wartime and a lot of the houses really had been taken over, you know, for army or something like that. So of course it was just sort of getting back in again to...
Did you have to do a lot of work to it?
Well, yes, there was always a lot of work to do in a boarding house, you know. As soon as you finished at the end of the summer, you started again for the... you know, repairs and wallpapering and all that sort of thing ready for the next summer.
And would you do all that yourself?
We did a lot of it ourselves, yes. Mm-hmm.
What sort of, what would you have in an ordinary room, you know, in your boarding house? What facilities would
you have? In a bedroom?
Yeah.
Well, there was always a dressing table, a wardrobe, a bedside cabinet, and the bed, of course, or twin beds, whichever, and the wash basin with the hot and cold water, and a towel rail. Well, we started off with the towel rails, and then, of course, they went. You know the wooden towel rails, which now cost about £25 to buy? Well, we broke them all up for £5. But we got rid of those, you see, when you had the, because the wash basins had the place to hang the towels. And always you put towels and soap in.
And fires, did they have gas or coal fires, or how did you keep
them
warm?
In the house, itself, we had coal fires. And we had an auger in the kitchen. The hot water for the bedrooms was with another auger boiler, which was in sort of a wash house place. Of course, that was only lit in the summer, we didn't have that in the winter.
So, if you go into your mind's eye,
uh-huh,
like walking in the hall, can you,
yes,
sort of just maybe take a little walk in your mind's eye through it and tell me about the hall and as you'd go in and what you'd see and the different,
yes,
rooms?
Yes, there was a porch, and then we went into the hall, which was a long straight one, with the staircase going up about halfway along the hall to the left. And on the right-hand side, there was the dining room with two doors. The far end of that was the still room. And then along from there were three bedrooms and the very far end, the toilet and the bathroom. That's the first floor. Then, of course, we lived downstairs in the winter, which was down a flight of stairs by the still room. And we had a front sitting room we had a big kitchen, and then we had another big kitchen, which was really the cooking kitchen. And then off that there was a corridor, and then there were two small bedrooms there, and the boiler room at the end, and the backyard, sort of at the full length.
What sort of colours was it? What, you know, what was on the walls and?
Oh, where we went in, the staircase was dark brown and cream. So we got rid of that and we had a soft cream. Remember that bit? It's anaglyptic paper, you know, halfway up, and then the border, a wooden border, and then cream. But we did it all cream, and it made it ever so much lighter, of course.
Pictures and?
Not many pictures, no, no. In the hall we had a grandfather's clock and the monk's bench similar to the one out. And that was all in the hall because, of course, you couldn't. And along at the side by the stairs, there was a coat railing, you know, all the way along. That was all you could really stand in the hall because they weren't that, you know, they weren't that wide that you could.
And what would there be a desk with someone, you know, there, like
no.
a reception like they have now?
No,
or?
No, not now. No, not
what
there.
What did you do for, like, where did you do your paperwork? And
downstairs, in the sitting room downstairs.
And was that like an office or just a...
Well, no, it was a sitting room, but we used it as an office as well. And the still room, we had a bell outside, so that if anybody wanted anything, they rang the bell and we could come up and see to everything. And the keys of the bedrooms were all in the still room.
And would you have been licensed at that time, or would you not have had an alcohol
no,
license?
No, we didn't have one, no. We didn't have a license.
What sort of drinks would you keep in and serve to people?
Well, just tea or coffee and minerals, you know, sort of lemonades. And downwards or Cointreau's minerals, bottles.
So, if you were just coming to the end of the winter and getting ready for the season, what sort of things would you be busy doing? And who'd be doing what? And who'd be rushing around?
Well, my husband was more or less in charge of the kitchens. And of course, we had to get stocked up for that. But that was his job more than mine. But I used to do all the bedrooms. I used to have a lady to help me. We'd start at the top and work down and clean them all. Then we'd go back to the top again and start making up beds and things like that, nearer to the time, you know. We had a large lounge, the first floor up, and we used to air all our bedding in there, because it was always nice and sunny, you know, and then take it up from there gradually as we worked down. So it used to take us about, well, we'd start in February, and we'd probably start in, that would be decorating, and start cleaning probably March, because we used to work in about May.
And so there'd be, how many people would there be working in the high season, and then who'd you have in the winter?
In the high season, we used to have, let me see, 1, 2, 4 in the kitchen. We'd have 2 waitresses, 2 chambermaids, that's 4 more, isn't it? Me, who did everything. And a still remains, so it would be, how many was that?
10
altogether. But of course, when we didn't have anybody, of course, we just closed at the end of September that year.
And would you all have your meals together in the basement? And
yes, we used to have our meals usually before we served meals, because we served lunches and teas. It was dinners and teas then, high teas, you know. But when we first started in 1946, rationing was still on. We couldn't give a dinner every day because you didn't have enough meat rations. So it used to be sort of Sunday, Tuesday and Thursday we did dinner, full board, and the other days we did tea, bed and breakfast. So
even on the Isle of Man, you couldn't get enough food?
Well, not really. I mean, you couldn't not to sort of serve meat every day, because of course everything was still rationed. I can't remember how long it was rationed for, actually.
It was rationed for quite a number of years, really, yes.
Because I remember we used to have their ration books, of course. The tea coupons were like a little square, which was divided into 4 And I know if we could sort of, somebody would say, well, look, you can have an extra tea from us, we don't need it, you can have it. And that used to mean that by that we could get another meat ration. All those sort of things, which you don't even think about now, you think are quite funny, you know. But they weren't then, they were really, you were glad to get it. Because you couldn't have bacon or every day, you know, you couldn't serve bacon for breakfast every morning. Or,
well, food was very
and butter,
short.
Butter was
all
rationed.
Wanted, really.
So we used to have to sort of, we used to put their own rations of butter on the tables for them and say, that's your butter ration for the week, you know. When that's gone, you have to have Marge, which of course we had to serve as well, you know. But we had to do that because otherwise, I mean, you never have had enough, really. Sugar, we always seemed to have enough sugar. I don't know why, but that was all. That never really worried us very much. But
so
they used to come round every so often and inspect, you know, and count with your coupons and all that sort of thing. We used to have to send them in every month, of course, as well. But they could come at any time and inspect to make sure that you didn't have, you weren't being naughty.
That was an extra job, wasn't it?
It was all extra jobs. I mean, it took a long time.
The lady of the house, really.
It took a long time because, I mean, the tea coupons were so tiny. It was awful.
They were like confetti, weren't they?
Yes,
so small.
Yes. I would say maybe just a bit more than an inch, wasn't it? Square.
Divided into four.
And then that was divided into four, so you can tell.
So that was a quarter of a square inch.
And one of those little squares was a week's tea ration. So you can imagine if you had tiny little things like that, you know.
And how did you stop the ration book getting mixed up for the it must have been really difficult trying to coupons for the visitors.
Well, I don't know, you just did it. It was just, you know, you didn't think about it, you just did it, really. I can't say, I can remember counting points. They were sort of A, B's and C's, I think, wasn't it? Something like that.
Yes, I think so. I can't remember quite.
I can't quite remember those now, but there were points. And they allowed you to get your sugar and stuff from these, however many points you had about the sugar and stuff.
So would you plan the menu?
We had to, yes. You more or less did the same thing. You tried a fortnight, you know, because people did sometimes come for a fortnight. And, of course, you couldn't give them the same thing each week. So you had, like, a menu fortnightly that was different.
What would be on it? What sort of food would you be cooking?
Well, there'd always be beef, of course, roast beef, and there'd be fish. And we could get tinned salmon, so you used to get tinned salmon, but you couldn't get the red salmon, so you got pink salmon, and you redded it. You made it go a bit red by adding a bit of cochineal or something like that, and it made it look better. And of course, you could serve that for tea with salad and that sort of thing. Chickens, you could get chickens now and then as well.
The food was very scarce.
It was scarce, yes. I mean, you were. Nowadays it certainly wouldn't satisfy a person, especially a man or a young person, because there
would be
enough.
Make up with the, like on the dinners, it was vegetables really.
Even bread was rationed for a short while.
Yeah.
It wasn't for long, but it was rationed for a short while.
But the meat ration was
pathetic,
wasn't it?
The meat ration was not much
it?
At all. I mean, you had to serve sausages for dinner and things like that, you know.
And was the food, you know, was it a really important part of people's, was it a pride?
I think so. Yeah, well, I think it was, yes. I think people used to come for, you know, most people enjoy their food, don't they? Yes, I think really it was the most important thing.
Mm. They used to say they'd like coming to the island because the food, there was much more food than they were getting at home, but there really wasn't. It was just part and parcel of the skills of the boarding house keepers, really. That
sometimes we used to get a salmon. Oh, don't ask me how. But we used to get a salmon, a proper salmon, you know, big salmon, which we used to cook and serve that. Well, that was great when you could do that.
And so you'd serve people breakfast and dinner and even lunch, or?
Breakfast and then
midday.
Lunch. Midday meal was a meal, a proper meal, like our dinners now are. And then high tea, which would be chips and something, or
salad.
And something.
Yeah.
And then for supper time, we used to have just biscuits and tea or coffee.
And then what would you be doing? So if the meal was all being cooked and there were people waiting for it, what would you be in the kitchen, or would you be upstairs?
Me?
Or,
I would be everywhere.
Panicking.
Never panic, but I would be everywhere. Because I used to make sure, before we went up, we had a hot plate in the kitchen, and you had to plate your meats on those, and then, of course, the potatoes and the vegetables went up in vegetable dishes, and there was all soup to start with, and you'd send your soup up, you'd dish out your soup, you'd dash back downstairs again, or if we had plenty of staff, it wouldn't matter, I could stay up in the still room, and then when the soup was done, you sent up, you got their meals, the vegetables used to come up, you know, and then the meat and stuff. I've often laughed because we used to always put one lot of vegetables on the plate with the meat, and you'd hear somebody downstairs, they'd ring a bell up to me in the still room and say, "Just go slow, will you? We haven't got enough peas." Things like that. And you had to sort of take one or two off each plate, you know, to get another, we're short for one or something like that.
Yeah.
So you were an expert at making sort of
a
foot go yard.
Yes, I think you had to be in those days because it was difficult.
I can just see it, you know, the full dining room, and it must have been so hard, rushing around. Was it enjoyable though? Did you have a, you know?
Yes, enjoyed it. I missed it when it was the end of the summer, because it was all busy, and sometimes, I mean, staff was one of the worst things. If you had good staff, you were all right. You could enjoy it, but, I mean, we had so many scruffy people that came over, it was dreadful. They'd think nothing of saying, you know, before a meal, well, we're going, we're not staying here, we're going. And they would go, that would be your staff. So then you had to sort of run upstairs, put the soup out, rush into the dining room, serve them with the soup, rush back out again, go downstairs, get the stuff on the lift to come up again, you know. It could be very hard at times.
So how did you get your staff?
Through agencies usually, or through, what was it called then? It's the Employment Exchange.
Oh, yes. What was that place that was down in... Was it Nelson Street?
There were several agencies. They were mostly Irish, Southern Irish staff.
But if you had good staff, John...
You're all right.
You were all right. But if you had to rely on the agency staff...
It was
a nightmare.
So what was a good staff person? What were their key qualities?
They'd do anything, you know. And they were honest.
And reliable was the thing.
Dishonest.
You know, you knew she was, if somebody was coming in at, say, such and such a time to serve dinner, they'd be there at dinner, they would be there. And, you know, that was quite a lot of people, private people, you know, like housewives with husbands out working, kids maybe out working too. They used to do it, didn't they?
Yes,
like they'd
yeah.
do.
Did you have any great dramas or crises with staff, people?
Only walking out before breakfast.
Tell me about that.
Well, I was busy stirring the porridge, and I said, there were two girls together, and they were from Lancashire, too, I can't remember. Anyway, I said, come on girls, we're late, it's time you were getting the toast and stuff up, and they said, oh, we're not doing anything, we're going. So I said, oh, all right, then go, and let them go, and I thought, what have we done? But we managed.
Yes.
So why were they going? Did they not like the money?
They just got another place. They were off. They were just, that was all they did. They just did that in those days.
They were just itinerant workers,
yes.
John.
And we had another one who came from Ireland, and the policeman came, a policeman that we knew came and said, have you got, I've forgotten their name now, working for you? And we said yes, and we said, well, he said, take my tip, get rid of her. So we said, why? And he said, oh, just take my tip and get rid of her. So anyway, we said, she was pretty hopeless anyway. And we said, well, we're sorry, but we found you're not suitable and you'll have to go in the morning. And she just said, oh, all right then. And well, 2 days after, she and her boyfriend were arrested for for stealing out of shops. You know, things like that just happened.
So you didn't have anyone stealing the silver?
Not quite, no. We had a mother and daughter come, and my husband went down to meet them off the boat, and they had a huge suitcase, and when he picked it up, thinking it would be heavy, it went right up in the air, you know, he picked it, and it was an empty suitcase. And they told one of the other girls that they'd come with the intention of stealing linen and stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we had another girl, and I used to think, that tea is going down. You know, she was saying, can I have more tea? Can I have more tea? And I used to be dishing out the tea. And it's going awfully fast. And she was she was sending it home. But she used to get a newspaper, open the newspaper, put the tea in the middle, fold the newspaper over and over, and make like a parcel. And the tea was in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And she used to send, I'm sending my mother the newspaper. And our tea was in the middle of the
mm-hmm.
newspaper. Oh, lots of things like that happened. You just think about it.
But did you have any sort of real happy thing, like romances, staff getting married or running off?
No, nothing like that.
So it would be just girls normally you'd employ?
Just girls.
Take men?
No, we just had girls. It was nice when you could get the same ones back 2 years, but it was very rare that you could do that. Really.
What would they be paid in the 50s, late 40s?
It would be about 15 shillings a week, but we used to pay their insurance, which you no need to do, but we did. It wasn't a lot, well, I don't suppose it was a lot when you think about it now, but I mean, it was quite a bit in those days. We always paid, it was about 15 shillings plus their board in those days. And then, of course, they got tips.
So, what sort of time would you start your day in the morning? When would you finish? And you know, say if you could tell me your day, you know, like how you'd be going through the day.
I'll tell you Saturday.
Yeah.
I'd be up at 4:30 on Saturday morning to let visitors in, and I would be going to bed on Sunday at 1:00. That was my day, not everybody else's day, but it was my day because I was in charge.
You were the boss.
But I used to get the staff up about 6:30. I'll try and get them up 6:30 on a Saturday. So that we, because it was changeover day, always people came Saturday to Saturday in those days, you know, now it's sort of long weekends and that type of thing. But it was always Saturday to Saturday, so you had a complete changeover when every bedroom had to be thoroughly cleaned and beds changed and everything. And the midnight boats used to bring them in at 4:30 in the morning, and they'd be ringing your doorbell, so I used to think, well, I may as well get up as... Even a lot of,
used
lot
to
of
be,
people used to leave them outside, you know, till about 6:30.
Yeah, there used to be, I think it was 13 steam packet boats running at that time, and they used to run ad lib. They'd fill up at Liverpool landing stage, sail to the island, offload here, half an hour, maybe an hour, maybe 2 hours, turn round and away, load it up and away. And you used to see. Queues of people queuing up on a Saturday from Victoria Pier right as far as the War Memorial
to get on
the boats, couldn't
you?
I'll put stuff in here. I've also
just so they'd be ringing on your door at
yes,
6:00?
Yes,
4:30.
And they say, I used to say, well, you can come in and sit in the lounge, but your room's not ready. Oh! They always thought that, and I'd say, well, will you get up next Saturday morning to let somebody get into your... Oh, we never thought about that, they'd say.
And did they want food?
I think that I used to always give them a cup of tea and give them a breakfast of sorts, you know, sort of, say, people that went out early, they usually just had cornflakes and a boiled egg and bread and butter and tea, you know, because there was nobody else to do anything but me then, so I used to. And I used to give the people that came in a cup of tea and they'd go and sit in the lounge. And then in between times, I used to be dashing up and stripping beds, and sometimes I'd even be able to make a few beds up before the staff got up, you know, and then you'd serve your proper breakfast and that sort of thing. Saturday was a busy day. A normal day you get up at 6:30 and, well, it would be midnight at least before you got to bed because you didn't close your doors till midnight. So it was long hours.
So
and in those days it was hard work because there was a shortage of everything, even vegetables and things. And I did a lot of bottling, and I bottled. We had a greengrocer, and he'd bring me a box of peaches. And I used to, this was after you'd served teas upstairs, and you'd washed up and everything, and you'd come down about 7. And I'd sit then and peel these peaches. and get them bottled and shove those and get them finished for about 10 and then go upstairs and serve suppers. So you didn't have a lot of spare time.
Not to work for little
staff,
reward,
staff
really.
Staff got it because, of course, you had to let them off. They were off, sometimes they were off from 7 till the following morning, and then you'd have one coming in for 10 o'clock or 11 to serve teas upstairs.
So once you'd had breakfast in the morning and you served all that?
You kept going then.
So what would you be doing after breakfast, maybe?
Well, after you finished the dishes, all the washing up upstairs.
All by hand?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. we had, you'd go downstairs and then just start getting your dinner ready. Because I always did, my husband did the cooking, but I always did the sweets. And amongst other things, you know. There was always something that you had to do. And in the beginning, there was a shortage of everything. I mean, if you wanted custards or something like that, you couldn't, not afterwards, you could ring up and say, let me have 60 custards or whatever you wanted. And you get them. But then they said, no, sorry, you're limited to so many. So I used to rush out and get, so I'd come back. And then we had one very good lady who came to us for years, Elsie. And then she'd rush out and get some. And we'd do that so that we'd have enough. But that was how you had to do it then, because you couldn't, the shops couldn't serve you with all these sort of luxury things, I suppose they were, anyway.
Well, you couldn't get jellies or custard powder, or you couldn't get sort of blancmange powders in those days, which was a sweet, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it,
and we used to make
you couldn't get them.
Steam puddings, we used to do steam puddings ourselves, you know.
So how many meals a day would you be making? Say, you know, how many breakfasts, how many dinners?
Well, depending on how many we'd have. We'd average, well, we could take 60 people. Well, you wouldn't be quite so busy in June. July and the end to the end of August was always busy, so you'd be serving 60-ish there, you know. If you averaged it out, I suppose it would be about 35 to 40. That's going from when you had only maybe 10 in, you know, at the beginning. But I think I'm the best dishwasher in the Isle of Man. And I love washing dishes even now. I don't mind it, so.
Did you have, you know, in your kitchen, did you have to cook on coal or did you have gas?
No, we had the Argo, which was solid fuel. That was a boon. That was lovely, the Argo. And we also had one electric cooker and a big gas cooker. So we had enough to, you know.
And did you have a fridge and things like that?
Yes. The fridge was the very first thing that we bought after the first summer there. We bought, you see, until then they were again in short supply because
just
the water
couldn't get
was
them.
Just coming in.
Couldn't get them,
and we got a big one that was about half the size of this wall, I should think. It was a big one that had three compartments, which was.
So it'd be about 6 foot then?
Oh, it's a big one, yeah. And quite tall. That was the first thing, that was that year. And then the next year we got a slicer, a meat slicer. So you did it that way. I mean, now they go into it and they've got everything, you know. But we had to do it that way because A, we couldn't afford not to, and B, you couldn't get them anyway, you know.
So how did the kitchen change over the years that you were working in it? What did you get and how did you change
it? The fridge and the Argo were the two big changes. And I think we changed the cookers. I think we got a bigger gas cooker. Oh, and a deep fat fryer we got as well. That's about all that changed, really.
So most of it was just hard work?
It was, yes. And it was hard work in those days, you must say.
You can imagine, John, going into a boarding house kitchen in the height of the summer, you know, hot summer's day. I know it's hard to imagine this year, but in those days it seemed to be hot, didn't it?
Yes,
it was like going into an oven.
Well, it was hot.
You used to go in and the sweat had just come out on your forehead, you know, it was so hot.
How many people will be there working away?
In the kitchen, about three in the kitchen downstairs, and because they'd have to take meals to the lift, which was in the other kitchen, the big kitchen, and up to the stairs.
So over the years you owned the boarding house, how did you change it to make it more modern as fashion changed, and what did you put in, and how did you update it?
We must have done something, sure. Actually, we left at a good time, because that was the time when they were starting to, people were getting more fussy. You know, they wanted more They wanted
sophistication
bedside lights. They wanted bedside lights. They wanted. Well, we did put key. We did every bedroom. We put keys to every bedroom, and key, they all had a key to the front door because one time, right, 12 o'clock, you're in. That's it. You know, and everybody was in. But of course, towards 66, 67, they were going. Things were happening, and they were staying out later. You know, so we used to just give them the key with their bedroom key and the front door key, and that was all right. So that was one thing which we did, which was more modern. We modernised all the beds because when we went in, a lot of them were feather beds. God, that reminds me too, you know, fluffing them all up and that. We got rid of those and put interior, spring interiors. So of course that was another one, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The lounge and that was up, they were all decorated about every 2 years.
Did they have all the old Victorian furniture in, or did you get the, or was it changed?
No, it was changing then, actually. They had, there wasn't an awful lot of Victorian furniture. There was a lovely sideboard in the lounge, not in the lounge, in the dining room, which I suppose could have come out when I think about it now. A bit late, but I mean, it did take up a lot of room, but it always looked nice because we had a lot of silver on that. But, no, there wasn't a lot of Victorian stuff in. I mean, the furniture was just typical, you know, dressing table, wardrobe.
Mm-hmm.